We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Abortion existed before Roe. It was simply illegal and unsafe, and young, healthy women died routinely in emergency rooms across this country. And that's what we're looking at again, if this court, in fact, tips the other side.
That's Cecile Richards, past president of Planned Parenthood, speaking recently on MSNBC's Hardball with Chris Matthews, making an assertion that we have heard again and again and again, and that is, if Roe v. Wade is overturned, abortion will become illegal nationwide, and that women will resort to unsafe abortions and will be dying, well, maybe not in emergency rooms, maybe in those back alleys we often hear so much about. Is it true that if Roe v. Wade were overturned, and it seems like a realistic possibility for the first time in 45 years, is it true that abortion becomes illegal? Joining us to answer that question, Margot Cleveland, a graduate of Notre Dame Law School. She served 25 years as a permanent law clerk for a federal appellate judge. She's adjunct instructor at the College of Business at Notre Dame and senior contributor to The Federalist, author of a recent column there titled "Why It's Impossible for Brett Kavanaugh to Make Abortion Illegal." Margot, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you so much.
You say that pro-abortion organizations have been preparing for years at the state level for the overturn of Roe v. Wade. What do they know that they're not saying?
Sure. So the abortion activists know that overturning Roe v. Wade is not going to criminalize abortion. It's not going to put women in jail, send them to the back alleys. All it will do is remove the federal constitutional right, which I'm putting quotes around, so that it's back in the public sphere where people can have a discussion, a debate, and pass laws that the populace believes is appropriate. So in most cases, this is going to go back to the state level, and the decisions will be done on a state-by-state basis, mainly by the legislative body. But that's where you are seeing kind of the stealth movement that's been going on for over a decade, where they've been going to states and litigating to establish a state constitutional right to abortion, so that in some states, such as California, there's not just a state right to abortion, but there's a state constitutional right to have it paid for by the government.
Sounds like they've been relatively successful.
They have. I think about 15 states right now have already found state constitutional rights that are even broader than what you have federally. So federally, there's no constitutional right to have an abortion paid, and some states have said that there are. The other thing that you're seeing is that they're doing this in conservative states, such as in Kansas, which has been a case that the pro-life forces have been watching for the last year. They keep looking for this opinion to come out. But when you had a Democrat governor appointed some liberal justices, you now have a majority of liberal justices on the Kansas Supreme Court. And they are poised to find a state constitutional right to abortion. And this would be in Kansas, where the majority is a pro-life state populace, and yet you're going to have a very small majority of the justices creating this right.
Talk a little bit about how it is that this mythology really didn't begin just when I think the pro-abortion forces started to see that the winds in the Supreme Court might change.
Right.
But it started, it was really part of their rhetoric from the very beginning, even from the success, from the what they consider the success of the Roe v. Wade decision on through Planned Parenthood v. Casey.
Right.
They have always contended that we would go back, we would instantly turn the clock back to a dark era of coat hanger abortions, back alley abortions.
Right. And really what it comes down to is they can't have an honest discussion about abortion in any way, shape, or form. starting with life, science, human development, because when people know the truth, then the perspective changes. And it's very hard to do a sales pitch on the truth of abortion. And you're seeing this in more than one way. So you're seeing the statistic that 70% of Americans don't want Roe v. Wade overturned. Well, the Pew Institute did a study, which I think it was in the 40th anniversary, so probably about 5 years ago, where they found that 38% of Americans thought Roe was about something other than abortion. And when you talk about people who are younger than 30 years old, it jumped up to 56%. Didn't even know what the Roe case was about. So it's extremely disingenuous to paint it as that Roe has this overwhelming support. But it's a sales pitch, just like this women's health care is a sales pitch, or health of the women. It has nothing to do with that, but that's because the truth wouldn't sell.
You said that Roe and then subsequently Casey prevent the states and therefore the Americans who live there from having a say in this public policy debate. Talk about the future of public policy debate regarding abortion after Roe. What do you think it's going to look like?
Well, I think that you're going to have the East Coast and the West Coast where it is going to remain very, very liberal policies. But I think what you're going to have in some of the red states, Midwest, and some of the kind of the purple states is you're going to have a much more honest discussion. And that might over time help to sway the other states. Because when you're seeing the debate, an honest debate about restrictions such as abortions after 20 weeks or even abortions in the second trimester, those are popular measures that people support. At the same time, you're going to probably have states which overwhelmingly are pro-life, but through the debate and through the voting, they carve out exceptions. And this is something that will hopefully, over time, create the ability to stress life, what is really going on in abortion. It's when you don't have any say at the ballot box, it doesn't have the same impact for the debate. You're not looking at the details of what it is. So I really think that it's going to open up the discussion more. Although, frankly, when you saw the nomination come out for Kavanaugh, you saw protests. So I kind of think that initially the abortion left is going to try to create a crisis. But when that calms down and Americans actually talk respectfully to each other, I think that there's going to be a lot of an advancement to help protect life.
Do you foresee any states simply outlawing abortion altogether, saying no abortion and no exceptions?
Frankly, I don't. I think that even the states that have passed very restrictive measures now, when the reality of Roe is overturned, that they're going to look back at it. But it's going to be something where it is going to have a much more respectful view of life, that maybe it is they have an exception for rape. Maybe they have an exception for terminal illness or a serious medical condition. But I don't see it going to be outrightly criminalized in any state. And even if it's criminalized, no one is going to be putting the woman in jail. And I think that that's something that the left likes to push, whereas the truth is it's an offense against both the woman and her child.
Margo Cleveland is our guest. We're answering the question, will overturning Roe v. Wade criminalize abortion? She's a graduate of Notre Dame Law School and served for 25 years as a permanent law clerk for a federal appellate court judge. She's written for the Federalist piece titled Why It's Impossible for Brett Kavanaugh to Make Abortion Illegal. When we come back, what does the pro-abortion left do? What do they say when Roe is overturned and their doomsday predictions don't come true?
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the language of medicine and law today. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
It can be tough to be Lutheran in America these days. Everything we hold dear seems to be under fire. Our families, our schools and churches, even our most deeply held beliefs. We need clarity amid the chaos, unchanging truth in a world of lies. The Lutheran Witness can help. Get the best of Lutheran reflection on faith and life, theology and culture. Learn more at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
40 years greatly blessed is this year's theme at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois. We engage young adults in a Christ-centered environment and provide an alternative to secular public high schools. Please help us provide tuition assistance to more students by making a special 40th anniversary tax-deductible gift at melhs.org and click on the giving page or call me, Dr. Jay Krause, principal at 618-656-0043.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore, thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. thecleaningauthority.com.
Smartest listeners in radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
You could win an audio DVD of every presentation from all six Issues Etc. Making the Case conferences. Record your answer to the question, Issues Etc., What Does This Mean? On our comment line, 618-223-8382. If we play your answer during Issues Etc., we'll send you a conference audio DVD of almost 50 hours of teaching. 618-223-8382 and answer the question, Issues Etc., What Does This Mean? Please be sure to mention where you listen.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking with Margot Cleveland of Notre Dame University and the Federalist about whether or not overturning Roe v. Wade will criminalize abortion. We've talked about their strategy up to this point here, Margot, that it is essentially to fearmonger about abortion being illegal and going back to being a dangerous prospect for women and jailable offense and things like that. What does the pro-abortion left do when Roe is overturned and their doomsday predictions don't come true?
Well, I think what they'll do is they will find the states that have very restrictive measures and present that as a false flag that this is what is going to happen everywhere. And it's kind of funny to me that you see, if anything in this area can be funny, is the ones that are the most vocal you have from California or from the East Coast, where they already have a constitutional right to abortion. So they're going to try to paint it as, you know, everyone's going to turn you into Texas and you're not going to be able to have nearly the so-called freedom, when the reality is California wants to turn Kansas into California. So I think that they'll find the states with the restrictive versions, and they will use that as a way to try to push for a new president to get the next resigning judges replaced and to try to get it back into the Constitution.
I guess that was
one of two other questions I had for you. Just because Roe is overturned doesn't mean that there isn't Roe version 2.0 out there waiting for a future Supreme Court, right?
Right, absolutely. So it could very well just depend on how long you have a originalist court. If it is overturned, it could be a matter of one presidential election because the ages of several of the justices are up there, and it could easily flip back, which also shows how ridiculous it is to even say it's a constitutional right, that it depends on what five Supreme Court justices say, as opposed to what the populace as a whole decides at the local level or at the national level.
The original Roe decision was decided on the basis of what Dr. Robert George calls, I think he says their judicial philosophy was penumbral emanationists. That's what he likes to call them. It was poor law to be decided. If there were a Roe v. Wade 2.0 argued to a future court, I cannot imagine that that kind of slipshod legal reasoning would be tried again.
Right, although when you see some of the other cases, such as Obergefell, that came out, there's still quite a bit of flexibility for creativity for the result that you want, which is really why an originalist viewpoint is the only one that makes sense, because otherwise it really is just a matter of will and who is on the court. As the late Justice Scalia used to say, I'm a lawyer. I'm good at interpreting law, but I don't know what some of these policy decisions are. Obviously, he said it much more elegantly than I did, but it's the same point that if you don't have a foundation in the law to look to, and then it's just a matter of brute power.
Here's a concern that I have, filed under the category unintended consequences. And it's this, Margot, that the overturn of Roe v. Wade will so activate and begin massive funding for the pro-abortion forces that they will be politically, in time, more powerful than they are even today. What are your thoughts there?
You know, I hadn't thought of that. I think it's a valid point. But at the same time, we don't give up on the right results because of that unintended consequence. I also think, though, when you have the pro-life groups showing this isn't what's happening, this is a much saner legal system, that all the money in the world's not going to do anything. So I can see the concern, but it's pretty much the left has said we're going to die when all these things happen, the tax reform bill, when you leave the Paris Climate Agreement. You can only call wolf so many times and continue to raise money off of it.
I spoke recently with Charles Camosi, and he wanted to talk about educating the American public on what Roe actually is and isn't, what abortion actually is and isn't, while we are working to, by any means possible, make Roe history. He feels like if people don't know what Roe is all about, we're likely to make equally bad decisions. What do you see an effort to educate the public on what Roe really, truly is, and hopefully someday we can say what Roe was?
Right, right. Well, that was in part why I wrote my article today, because I was already seeing these press releases where they were using overturning Roe and criminalize in the same sentence. So that's part of it. And the same with abortion, that you have to have that honest discussion. But when you have a media that is so wedded to the abortion activist view, it's hard to break through on that. It's hard to educate the populace of what abortion is, what Roe is, when the media refuses to give it the light of day.
Speaking of the social media, just moments ago saw something flash by on the Twitter feed, a Democratic lawmaker in a hearing for some of these pre-hearings for the nomination process for Brett Kavanaugh, decided as a symbolic gesture to bring a coat hanger to the hearing, silent protest. That's an image, and I'm sure it will be all over the place by later today. That's an image that really feeds the other side of this debate, although it's not an argument, isn't it?
No, it isn't. And obviously the other image that they could show would be the unborn human beings that are slaughtered by abortion. And it's unfortunate that the media will capture that and push that distortion. And when I put my article out there, one of the things I've done is kind of noted to people, here, this is what you can link to when you see this fraud being pushed. Because I tried to lay it out without a lot of detail, just hitting the points so that people can get through to those who are unwillfully ignorant. Unfortunately, when it comes to abortion, there's a lot of people who are purposefully ignorant and will bury their heads in the sand to ignore the reality.
Finally, Margo, I was thinking just this morning that I honestly did not believe that I would be having conversations in 2018 about the realistic possibility of overturning Roe v. Wade. What about you?
You know, I don't think so either, but that was probably given the whole a question mark about the presidential candidate. First, Donald Trump, who did not look like he had a chance to win. Second, Donald Trump, who had a liberal background before he became a Republican, ran as a Republican. And that was one of my biggest concerns going into the election, is would he actually appoint justices that he has? And so, no, I would never have pondered that with the last election cycle. Before that, I could see it, though, because if I saw a Cruz or a Rubio up there, that was something I was hopeful for.
Margo Cleveland is a graduate of Notre Dame Law School, served his 25 years as a permanent law clerk for a federal appellate judge, adjunct instructor at the College of Business at Notre Dame, and senior contributor to The Federalist, where she has a column there recently, Why It's Impossible for Brett Kavanaugh to Make Abortion Illegal. Read it for yourself at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Margo, thank you.
Thank you so much.
James Robinson of USA Today will be our guest on the other side of the break. We're going to talk about Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh and anti-Catholic bigotry.
The Church's music from the 20th century. The 17th century. The 11th century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the Church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Providing artillery support for the Church militant on the front lines, you're listening to Issues Etc.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Things when I hear on the radio tonight about Obama being a Christian but not being good because of his pro-choice and homosexuality stances.
Here's a recent comment from the Issues Etc. comment line.
yet I see no evidence of any literature that in the Bible that you stated that says that these things are against biblical teachings.
The Issues Etc. comment line, available 24/7, 618-223-8382.